The letter awarding Knox Davies a full scholarship to Roosevelt Prep promised him that his years there would open doors to experiences he'd never imagined. Ironic how on the money that turned out to be, because he sure as heck never imagined he'd be stranded in the Italian Alps in a March snowstorm, without a coat or food or any shelter besides a cave that smelled like bear shit, hoping, along with his three best friends, that they hadn't used up all their good luck escaping from a fiery bus crash. Oh yeah, definitely an experience and then some. Knox kept a list of everything new he did. His mom got him in the habit when he was little and they were dirt poor. She wanted to emphasize experiences over material things, seeing as how they had a whopping less than squat squared. He'd cataloged the second time the elementary school made him take an IQ test because the results came back so off the charts high the first time. The day he was put, against his will and all good judgment, on the Roosevelt Prep soccer team. And that same day when Roger Weller tried to stuff him in a gym locker and all the guys freezing to death in this cave with him came to his defense. "Damn it, Knox, stop moving," ordered Josh. At least he recognized Josh's voice. He sure couldn't see him in the pitch dark of the cave. Not that Knox could see much now, even if a search and rescue spotlight hit him right between the eyes. His glasses got knocked off when Griffin yanked him out of the way too small bus window. Maybe one of the guys stepped on them. Maybe they got destroyed when the bus went from smoking to fiery inferno in one big whoosh. All Knox knew was that he couldn't see anything but blurry shapes. It twisted his stomach into a giant knot. Bleeding, no food, lost, no way to get help. All that was bad enough, but doing it half-blind was a whole other level of panic. So he snapped back with over-the-top pissiness. "We're not freaking sharing a waterbed. What do you care how much I move, Hardwick? I can't sleep with you rustling and crunching over there. Leaves and pine needles and dirt make noise when you roll around on them." "My leg hurts." Knox immediately realized that made him sound like a whiny baby. Already the skinny nerd with glasses, usually, of the group. He did his best to not show weakness. They were all injured. The night pretty much sucked equally for all four of them. So he fell back on his usual routine, poking right back at Josh. "And I'm cold. Maybe I should come over there and spoon you to get warm and quiet." "Do that and I'll go find a metal shard and stick it through your other leg." "You know what makes even more noise? The two of you talking," complained Griffin. "None of us can sleep through that." Knox shifted again. It dug the knot from where he'd tied his shirt sleeve as a makeshift bandage right into the deep puncture wound in his left calf. He swallowed down the moan from the pain, channeled it into snark instead. "Because you were catching some righteous Z's 2 minutes ago, Montgomery." Then there was a crumpling noise, like someone fisted a handful of dried leaves into dust. Griffin coughed. "What the hell?" Riley said, "You're not supposed to sleep." He gulped in some air. They were pretty sure Rye had a broken rib, or three. On top of the dislocated shoulder Griffin had shoved back into place a few hours ago, Riley'd blacked out at the end of it. Knox wished he had two, to avoid hearing Riley's scream and the gross scrape and pop of the bone moving. "You've got a concussion," another shallow gasp. "Don't we have to wake you up every 15 minutes? "You making a grab for my title of official first aid rock star?" "Your morning breath's bad enough on a normal day, Griff." A wheezy gasp this time. "I don't want to know what it'd be like if you don't make it through the night." It was weird, joking about dying. Sure, they joked about everything big and bad in their lives. Griff's mom and her third husband. This one with some made-up European title. Josh's dyslexia diagnosis last year that got him extra time on tests, which in no way made up for all the years he'd felt stupid,